What do you want?
Tangerine Fanta, please.
Tangerine Fanta, please.
We do not have that.
They do not have that.
Tab, it's fine.
Just a tab, then?
No.
Nope.
Pepsi Lime?
Pepsi Lime?
We have Coke.
They have Coke.
Newer Classic.
Is a newer Classic.
Just regular Coke.
Do you have any milk water, like a Yoo-Hoo?
We don't have that.
Anything from the Slice family?
Don't have it.
Anything from the Welch's family?
No.
Do you have anything that has any kind of Baja Blast in it, whether it be Mountain Dew, Pepsi, anything?
I guess no, sir.
Let's take a water then.
TBTL.
Dear TBTL, you're so amazing. And I know you're gonna do better.
Do you just sit around all day thinking of nice things to say to people?
Well, it's not necessarily during the day, but I do like to be nice to people.
Think about what you're saying right now, because it's the smartest idea anyone's ever had.
Guilty as charged.
What comes before anything? What have we always said is the most important thing?
Breakfast.
Family.
Family, right.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the things you eat.
Ah, yes. Try to start each show with a swig of Diet Dr. Pepper. And all of the enthusiasm that you would imagine comes with a Wednesday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
I just love hot Cheetos!
I love them so much. Like to have them with a Diet Dr. Pepper, or maybe even a Diet 7-Up. As I was on my way over here to the offices of Walsh, Walsh & Dormat, I went into the little grocery store on the corner, which I believe is the Darn Good Grocery. A lot of branding for a local corner grocery market, including hats and patches that you can, I guess, affix to things. I sauntered into the Darn Good Grocery. And it was just an embarrassment of riches when it comes to low-calorie drinks. So I didn't choose between Diet Dr. Pepper and Diet 7-Up. I got both of them because I run a very successful podcast, which finds itself at episode 2,307 in a collector series. Coming to you, as you've already probably picked up, from the offices of Walsh, Walsh & Dormat here in the Wallingford neighborhood of Seattle, Washington.
Let the fun begin.
We are going to talk about Super Bowl ads today.
Who are the ad wizards who came up with this one?
And then a series of stories I'm calling Butts in the News.
Dukes.
You should not streak on the Microsoft campus over in Redmond because the police will pick you up.
Double dukes.
And also a story about a human's very, very early ancestor, which did not have a butt.
Triple dukes.
So we'll talk about butts in the news coming up. We'll talk about that. We'll do your emails and your V-mails, and I'm sure lots of other stuff. First, though, boy, that Diet 7-Up is coming back on me. Tell you what, carbonation is no joke. Well, the other thing I want to talk about is the fact that I almost did the Heimlich maneuver on a guy last night. And here's the thing. It's tough to know when it's time to deploy the Heimlich on a stranger. This is what happens when you do the Heimlich on a stranger in the Alps. This man is no stranger to me. He's a good friend. He's the co-host of this program. He's recently dealt with some personal issues, which he's finally ready to talk about.
I was addicted to nasal sprays for years.
And he joins us now. His name is Andrew Walsh. Hello, my dude.
That was the hardest intro to not interrupt because I have so much to say about that corner grocery store. I think, first of all, let's get a few facts straight. Good morning, by the way.
Hello, my friend.
It's darn good.
Yes, it is.
It is not darn good. And as you mentioned, the reason I know it's darn good is because I have never, I mean, I guess I'm just repeating what you've said here, but I have never seen a small independent corner market that, as far as I can tell, is not affiliated to any kind of a chain. It's a single standalone store that is so invested in its darn good image. There, you're right. There are keychains. There are hats. There are various kinds of hats.
I considered
right?
buying a hat. It's actually a decent looking hat.
I like the idea of having a, you know me, I'm all about local grocers.
Yeah.
Right? So I like the idea of, I'm not a huge fan of their logo. I think it's like a,
it's a globe. With,
yeah.
With, I think, the words darn good kind right. of cyclonically spinning off of it.
So I like the great word picture there, by the way.
Thank
Jeez,
you.
That was perfect.
That that will be the end of that for the rest of this program from me.
I would love to like just walk around town proudly wearing either a knit cap or a build hat, a cap, supporting my local. I mean, it, what is it for? Well, maybe I should just give out my address. It's
Why
only
not?
It's a mere blocks from my house,
yeah.
And it's my kind of go to place when I need just a quick 6-pack of beer, a pack of cigarettes, or other things that are going to extend my life. But yeah, the fact that it's called Dern, even darn good wouldn't. I find it hard to believe I'd wear a darn good T-shirt, but darn good is definitely. Interesting. I mean, it's worth noting that, you know, darn good is kind of, it indicates that it's kind of got some sort of southern appeal, right? Like
mm-hmm.
that kind of dialect. But it's run by an Asian couple who I believe,
oh,
I
really?
want to say are Korean because the one guy has a little, here he used to have a little upside down doll of Kim Jong-un.
Oh, wow.
And one time I was like, who is that guy? He's like, it's Kim Jong-un. And like, it was upside down.
Take
and,
that.
Yeah, take that. And they're all little yeah. needles poked in it.
That's okay. That's fascinating because I went in there and let me see. I want to echo what you said. The branding is strong and it's kind of cool because they have
yeah.
their whole thing going. I will say this, and I don't want to take anything away from the grocery, but it's a kind of standard corner store. Is
sure.
the funny part?
Oh, like, there's nothing special
see,
about it.
I mean, but it has so much signage going on, and again, there's so much. Just sort of like attention to the details of the image of the store
mm-hmm.
that I sort of expected to go in and find it to have like, I don't know, just some wide array of things that I would describe maybe as darn good.
Yes.
But it's just kind of a typical corner store. Like it's a very typical thing you would find on the corner of many cities in America. Just again, with more hats referring to
yes.
the name of the store.
I agree. There's nothing like in there, like they don't specialize in anything necessarily. There was a tiny little like kind of small grocery store, maybe a little bit bigger than this in Concord, New Hampshire. It's driving me crazy. I can't think of the name of it now, but there was not a lot to recommend it, except it had an amazing kind of, deli / butcher section, and they made these amazing shish kebabs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, from the outside, nothing. But you could imagine people came from far away for these shish kebabs. So I could see, like, kind of, like, building a kind of a brand around that and having hats that say, you know, small market shish kebab or whatever. But there's nothing aside. The only thing that darn good provide that is unusual is their own like obsession with branded products.
Right.
And I will say they have a really good selection, probably the best selection I've ever seen of gummy foods. And you know that I love like fake little gummy foods, like the fake little gummy pizzas. They have fake little gummy burgers and gummy pizzas, burgers, and hot dogs.
Do you actually eat those things or do you just like to sort of have them around?
I haven't eaten them in a long time. There was a time when that was standard fare when our friend Durs would come over to
mm-hmm.
watch
I remember that
football games. I like his he liked pizza or that's part of his
whole
his
branding
image.
Strategy.
His whole branding strategy.
And also Durs good grocery that he owns.
And so I one time saw, you know, I was in a store or something, I saw those tiny little what are they? They're the size of a silver dollar.
Yeah.
Now we have to explain what silver dollars are mm-hmm. for the young ones. Little like gummy pizzas. So I started buying handfuls of those for football day. And yeah, we'd eat, they're all orange flavor.
Mm.
Have you ever had one?
I believe you brought them over to my house
yeah,
at one time
like
or another. And
do.
I think I probably at some point during the alcohol consuming and football
sure.
watching decided that was a good idea. Maybe even a darn good idea. And yeah, I did eat them. And yeah, they were sort of orangey. I would like to read you some of the Yelp reviews of darn good groceries. There's one in particular that jumps out at me. See if you can tell which one caught my interest. A young woman's review says, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, an impressive selection of beer given the size of the store. Tropicana, no pulp orange juice. And she goes on to list the things they sell. Another person says, in the morning, I get to hear classical music bursting out the door.
True.
And in the evening, I hear from Jay, is the owner, I believe, and maybe even get to pet the little dog, Stella.
No. I'm in there all the time. I would know if there was a dog there that I could pet.
Okay. That was somebody's review.
Okay.
And then the third review from a woman named Danielle just says, I wish I had a corner store by my house. Not really a review of the grocery store as much as a
wistful
kind of a request to the universe. I've never seen somebody do that. Just like, God, I'd love to be near a Pizza Hut. Like, to just go on to Yelp to just express a longing for a corner store to be closer to her house than one currently exists.
You know, I think you were out during... I wanted to tell you that I have confronted a fear I've had for a while, and I don't think you actually know the background on this. A while back, when you were out, and I was filling in, doing the show myself, unrelated to that, one of those days I was hungry and wanted to check out this gyro place that's not far from my house, and I pass it all the time. I'm always thinking, oh, good, finally I live by a gyro place again. Not unlike this Yelp reviewer. I wish I lived by a gyro place.
We don't need another gyro. We don't need to know the way home.
And I went in there, and I was really put off by – this is such an Andrew story. I was – there's like a kind of a young man there. It's near the university district, so it doesn't surprise me. There's like a young man working there, but he was just like so curt and kind of rude, but mostly curt to me. Hmm. And I go in and listen, it's my fault that I don't know how to order a damn gyro, right? But for some reason, I go in there and he's staring at me and I feel like I got to order right away. And the menu just had a lot of options and it was complicated. And what I wanted was a gyro and fries. That was it. So I mistakenly said, oh, I guess the gyro plate. Like I was confusing a plate right. with a platter, which I know actually, this.
I'm going to be honest this. With you. I find the ordering of gyros to be oddly stressful.
Thank you.
I'm not even joking because my issue is that I can't remember if it's tahini sauce mm-hmm. or the other one that I like. One of them I hate and one of them I really like. I like the white yogurty.
Yes.
Thing.
I thought that was tahini, but I might just be conflating the two.
I think tahini, well, there's one of them that is a totally different flavor profile, and I do not like it, but I always think I'm ordering the one that I don't want, or I am sometimes getting the one I don't want. Anyway, so back to your story.
I think Phyllis on the show, again, on a different show when you were out. God, you're out a lot.
Mm.
No, I'm just kidding. But Phyllis was saying the same thing because she has an aversion, I believe, to mayonnaise. And one of those is yogurty and one of them is more mayonnaise-y. And she, she's probably yelling at her phone right now because I'm getting it wrong. Anyway, so I go in there and the guy's just like kind of answering me with grunty answers. I'm asking about the menu and he's not really saying anything. I'm feeling more and more tension and pressure or whatever. So I just order something. I end up ordering like the wrong thing. And I'm just also just like, I'm sitting in there eating and I'm just mad. Like I just wanted a gyro and fries. It was mm-hmm. simple, but he just kind of like didn't throw me. Yes, I'm an idiot for not knowing how to order a simple sandwich. But on the other hand, he didn't offer me a branch at all or right. anything to grab onto. So this was happening at a time where Vives and I had happened to read a really crazy, angry Yelp review for a totally different establishment. And we had talked to the owner of that establishment for a story I don't have to get into. But that was very much on my mind. But I wanted to write a Yelp review to let people know about my experience here. But I also didn't want to be a really cranky,
right.
like just like unhinged person that nobody would listen to because clearly I have issues. And so I wrote this review that I thought would be like kind of down the middle. I apologize to people who've already heard this, but Luke,
I haven't heard the review. Okay, keep going.
Have we?
No, but I feel like you and I had a different conversation about how, or you've just mentioned in passing that when you're about to write a negative review, you want to go write some other positive reviews.
I do that. Yeah, that's
so to kind of like it, like prune back your Yelp.
I'm looking at my Yelp profile here, and I've only got 7 reviews, and I know that 4 of them must be good. I'd never want to get into right. more negative than positive.
You don't want to write reviews like Ninja S did. Of the Dern Good Grocery, which I will read to you in a minute.
No, I want to hear that now.
One of those greasy little corner stores where you know the guy has a shotgun under the counter and has it aimed at your balls in case you make a too fast move for your wallet. This place sells cigs and occasionally 4-year-old boxes of Lucky Charms. Was this review useful? 2 people said yes. Yeah. Two people said cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Sunglasses emoji.
One of my favorite things is to look at like crazy angry reviews on Yelp and then mark them as funny. just to like make the other person mad.
Okay, so I want to hear
how old was the review, by the way, that mentions the dog? I know I came down.
Well,
kind of hard
I have
on
more
that.
On that too, and I really would like to
okay.
hear.
Okay,
your
so
review,
here we
but,
go.
I, but I do have we do have
okay.
we have some breaking news on that topic.
Okay.
Well, back in 2012, somebody else said, Kathy Kay said, "This is a block for me, and it's awesome. A good selection for a little quickie mart, but mostly it's the folks that work there, always friendly and smile at me as I walk my dog or come in for a pint of ice cream. Love the dog that gets to run around the place, too."
That's 2012?
Yeah.
I bet you this place traded hands since 2012 and 2017. And that might explain, because, yeah, just the name Durngood seems odd to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it does not seem like the type of place where the guy's got a shotgun aimed at your private.
No,
like,
I don't
people
think
in there
Ninja.
Are just, yeah.
No, it's very possible that, I wonder if somebody else started Durngood and if Jay and
yeah.
his, I don't know if he's married or what.
They but seem if, like a couple, yeah.
If maybe they went ahead and purchased this, you know, already existing grocery store.
I'll bet you. Anyway, So here I am, and I want to just – I'm just going to get to the power out here and tell you right up front that I went back and reread this review to Genevieve because she didn't know this story. This is, again, for the Euro place. I read it to her this weekend, and I'm seeing now I wrote it 7 months ago, and Genevieve just said, "I want you to know you do sound like a crazy person in this."
Okay.
I was trying so hard to walk the line. I gave it 2 out of 5 stars, and I wrote,
okay.
"I was really turned off by the curt, unhelpful service. I had questions about the menu, but only received one word grunted answers, which led me to order the wrong thing. I guess I have to take partial blame, and I ate what I could without complaining, but the guy behind the counter just seemed like he didn't care at all, and he just wanted me out of there as fast as possible. Too bad. I thought the food that I ate tasted good, but it was a pretty crappy experience in general, and I'm legit bummed." Then parenthetically, I think I added this later. "BTW, looking at all the reviews, I see that most people mention how great the service is. Maybe I just picked a bad day."
That's racist.
So that was it. Anyway, I want you to know I went back in there the other day.
That does not sound unhinged.
It doesn't sound unhinged, but it does sound like somebody who's probably taking a little bit...
See,
who's using maybe a little too many words.
I think if I read that, and I actually like the word you say, I was legit bummed. Like I think I would feel a connection to you if I didn't know you, if I was just reading that. And what I think is worth pointing out about your review is that it's useful information to people that would maybe go there. What I find amazing is the people who write Yelp reviews for like even this grocery store. Like, I don't need a Yelp review to go in there and see if they have, you know, Yellowtail Shiraz wine for $8.99. Like, I don't really understand Yelp reviewing a corner grocery.
Right.
Like, I was driving over here to your house. I was thirsty, and I saw Durngood Grocery, and I pulled over, and I bought two kinds of soda, one of which I've already consumed, the Diet 7-Up. Kind of wish I would have gone with two Diet 7-Ups just because it was refreshing.
Oh, the Diet D?
The Diet Dr. Pepper. I know that's a lot of D's, dude. is fine and all.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I didn't, like, think, like... I didn't need a Yelp review
yeah.
to help me go to the grocery store. Like, I guess I for me, Yelp reviews are really about restaurants
mm-hmm.
and also services like landscaping companies or, you know, there are a lot of things where I do give a certain credence to Yelp. I will say this, Yelp is in essence running a protection racket, and I don't feel great about that.
Yeah, because they can sell services that'll help you improve your image.
Correct. It's sort of like, you know, if you like before Yelp existed. Now it is a useful tool, but it's also like, for instance, one of my sisters in Portland. My sister, who is now with her husband, the co-owner of Pollo Bravo, delicious chicken. I have to give them a free plug anytime it comes up. But they used to work at a restaurant called Toro Bravo, very busy, popular restaurant in Portland. And my sister's job, one of her main jobs, was to go on Yelp and just try to do damage control in case anyone had a bad experience. And it would like keep her up at night,
mm-hmm.
the Yelp reviews.
Yeah.
Now, in one way, it's good because people can share their experience with things. But it's like before Yelp was created, There was no need to pay Yelp money to try to manage right. your image on Yelp.
Right.
Which is sort of classically a protection racket.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think that is an interesting perspective. It's nice to be able to have a tool where people can say, oh, yeah, you know, I got bad service here. I want to let other people know about it so other people aren't fooled. And you're right. Like a restaurant is a better... is a better use of that because you're going to go in there, you're going to spend a chunk of your time, especially a nicer restaurant, right? Like
right.
I'm trying to plan a nice evening for me and my partner, and I'm going to be spending some real money on it. And it's going to be, you know, if it's a nicer restaurant, let's say it's, you know, it's, we're going to spend 2 hours there, have some cocktails and some apps. Do you have a nickname for apps?
I call them applications.
Okay. I was trying to figure
out. I never find them when I need them. Where did I put this Barolo? That's not a thing. What? I meant to say burrata. I tried to do a deep dive on a kind of app that I would eat, and then it just fell apart.
What would you recommend for an application? We don't eat cheese. Anyway, you know, you're spending a big chunk of time and potentially a big chunk of money. I understand wanting to check out a restaurant ahead of time and being like, did people have a bad experience here? Like, that totally seems legit to me. You're right, though, the industry that is sort of formed around it and the fact that you can kind of have a couple of cranks or just a couple of trolls who've never even been to that right. restaurant just make shit up just because, I mean, one thing that we've learned recently is trolls don't need a reason.
Yeah.
They just can troll. That's the whole point. So I understand. And also, like, why do you – I guess this is just obvious. This is just like the worst Jerry Seinfeld bit at this point. But like, yeah, why do you need to review a Quickie Mart? Like – nothing is going to happen to you so bad at a Quickie Mart that you can't go in and experience it yourself for 5 minutes and $5. Right.
That's
and then
exactly
say,
my point.
Eh, next time I'm going to pass this one and go to the 7-Eleven. Like, what is going to happen that is so bad? And they're just like, thank God I did right. not go to Dern Good.
Bullet dodged.
Right.
Right. Exactly. I am now that we've talked about it at length, I am thinking that I am probably going to stop by there and get one of those hats on the way.
All right. So are you going to get a knit cap or like a ball cap?
I didn't even see the knit cap. I'll probably get a ball cap, okay. And I'll probably wear it on the airplane going to Chicago. So if anybody is flying to Chicago this afternoon from Seattle and you see a guy in a Dern Good grocery hat, it's probably me.
Will it say, make America Dern Good again?
Modga?
Can you tell me before we move on? I know we have a lot to get to today, but can you tell me why you almost either accosted or gave a stranger the Heimlich maneuver yesterday?
Well, last night, your friend and mine, Camaro Kev, and I spent a little time together. And, excuse me, it turns out 4 gallons of low-calorie soda, maybe not the ideal drink before doing a podcast. Camaro Kev and I were going to meet up. He'd been getting his hair cut in North Seattle, and so we were trying to figure out a place to meet, and I thought, well, what about a spot that has delicious Asian fare and pull tabs and alcohol drinks and is called Goldie's Casino?
Right.
And he said, perfect. So we met up at Goldie's, and we were playing the only game that he likes to play is called Straight Edge. It's just one of these ridiculous, like, made-up casino games where you're just trying to get a straight. I don't know how many cards you get, 30 cards. Not really. It's like 7 cards and you're hoping they all go in order. And the house, I think, gets one more card than you do. It's again, it's just kind of a,
does it have to be all the same suit or just
no.
a straight?
Okay. Suit doesn't really, it doesn't matter. Okay. But it's like a kind of one of those fun mindless games. And since they got rid of 3-card poker, I'm really kind of, that's not true. I'm not ambivalent. I'm sort of apathetic about the different table games they have there. So cool. We're playing Straight Edge, and there's a guy over at the kind of end position who's got a bunch of money in front of him. And he's kind of an older guy. He's like maybe in his, I'd say maybe mid-60s. He just kind of has a scowl on his face. And like he's winning huge sums of money, and he's not really tipping, which is always gets under my skin. I don't know why. Because really, in a way, I mean, the rub on tipping at the casino is when you win, you tip them, and when you lose, they do not tip you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of like, but then on the other hand, it's like everybody's got to eat, and you know, if you're getting lucky, it's nice to spread the wealth.
Yeah, because you're not tipping the house. You're tipping the dealer.
And so, and this guy was winning, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I saw him win $2,000 at one point.
Oh, wow.
Because he got like seven cards straight, and the house got a six card straight, and which is some weirdo jackpot. And he had all this. Anyway, guy was doing great. But he was a little – I couldn't figure him out because he was kind of – I actually think he may have been slightly on the spectrum now that I look back at it, because I don't think he was actually trying to be rude to people. I just think he didn't really understand how to interact, because he was sitting there, like I said, kind of a little sort of shoulder shrugged, taking zero visible joy in the fact that he had in front of him conservatively $4,000 or $5,000 in chips. And Kevin and I ordered some food. And I got the Kung Pao chicken because, you know, hashtag low carb life.
You're not eating it at the table, right?
No, no, no. But actually what I do is order the food, and then that it forces me to take a break from the gambling in case it's starting to grow into.
They'll come over and be like, your food's ready, yeah. Burbank.
And then I have to Google how many carbs are there in miniature corns. Turns out less than there are. If you scale a miniature corn up, it would have less carbs than a regular size corn on the cob.
Oh,
because it's not really the same thing. Course, it kind of looks like it, but it isn't. Yeah. Anyway, these are the questions, the great questions of our time. How many carbs are there in mini corns? So anyway, he goes, when the woman takes our food order, I'm sorry the story is taking so long, but I'm hepped up on Diet 7-Up. So the woman takes our order, and then she starts to walk away, and he goes like, I'd like to order too, kind of not in a super nice way. So again, I'm like, this guy. But then at some point, I'm talking to Kevin and I'm talking to the dealer. At some point, the guy just kind of out of nowhere goes, "Are you? Do you play music? Are you in a band?" Because I think I was mentioning to Kevin I'm going to Chicago today or something. So he asked like, and I was like, "No, I work in radio."
That's so funny that that's just I'm going to Chicago tomorrow. Are you in a band?
Yeah, that's that was exactly how it went. So anyway, I couldn't quite figure the guy out because he seemed kind of grumpy, but then he also asked like a question that was a sort of normal person question. Anyway, he gets his food. It's like, like barbecue pork, kind of the style you'll have at a Chinese restaurant. By the way,
I'm starving, man.
Grossest
just go easy here.
Food to eat at the casino, because he's walking over, he's picking up one of them. He's sort of half eating them. Then he's picking up these chips, you know, that have been touched by God knows who, including me.
He's using his fingers to eat the barbecued pork? Oh, because it's on a bone?
No, no, no. It's like those little – sliced.
Okay.
You know how you get it with the spicy mustard? They're like sliced pieces of barbecue
they're
pork.
They're supposed
it's
to be
cold.
Finger food. Okay.
Yeah, they're meant to be finger food. They're usually served with spicy mustard and sesame seeds.
Okay, that sounds great.
Are you only person on earth who hasn't seen this? That sounded more critical than I meant it to.
I mean, I know – maybe
I just feel like it's a really standard part
it's
of
not
like,
on,
Chinese
It's not on a spear?
Nope. It's just, and it's cold. It's very good. Anyway, but he's like, he's eating finger food and then he's handling the chips. Again, his funeral, which by the way, we almost had to go to because he comes over and he's laying his chips out and he's tossing one of these pieces of barbecue pork in his mouth and it's kind of like putting his chips up. And all of a sudden he inhales wrong and the barbecue pork gets lodged in his throat.
Oh God, you know that feeling.
I don't know it to the extent that it happened to him because he could not catch his breath. I mean, he started to change color. He goes, he pulls his chips back. He had the presence of mind to pull his chips back from the three positions he was playing. And he's like, hur, and I could hear the pork.
Oh, God.
Lodging in his windpipe as he would like kind of try to breathe it out. And like we've all had, you know, our drink go down the wrong pipe or something. We've all, you know, we all sort of had a moment of like, you can't quite catch your breath, but this was like airway blocked, and he's wandering around by the cage, which you know is where you get your money and everything. He's wandering around by the cage. He's kind of and he can't catch his breath, and the staff is coming out. And one guy comes over, one guy from like the pit boss comes over and goes, "Where the hell is security?" And I'm like, "Yeah, like security's gonna help,
right?"
So then someone's like, "Call 911." No one really knows what to do, and I'm like, "I want to go over and give him the Heimlich." But I also don't want to go to like DEFCON 5 unless he really needs it.
Have you ever given it to anybody?
I haven't. I've fantasized about it many times. And I also know you can give yourself the Heimlich on the back of a chair. Yeah. This is just a note to our listeners. If you ever are alone and you start choking, you can give yourself the Heimlich on the back of a chair. Also, if a baby starts choking, you should not give them the Heimlich because their, you know, rib cage and such is not very strong. But you can hold them upside down by their legs if they're a little baby and kind of – you can sort of jumpstart the like peristaltic reflex, which will get the thing out of there. Mm. So what I'm trying to do with this is like, by the way, I don't know if that's the peristaltic reflex. I think the peristaltic reflex is the when you swallow, what everything does in a row when you swallow.
Okay.
But anyway, to our otolaryngologists out there who are going to correct me. So I'm like going, God, I want to run over there and give this guy the Heimlich because I don't want him to die. But I also think, one, I will probably break his ribs. He might sue me because I can't tell if he's a grump or not. Right. It will be extremely weird. And I'm also nervous because everyone in the casino is watching this, but no one in the casino is doing anything.
Right.
The end of the story is he did not die. He sort of somehow cleared it himself, which was disgusting.
It was disgusting.
Well, I mean, to think about the fact that, well.
No, I mean, not to think about it, but I mean, did you see something disgusting? Did
At one point, we realized that he had, in his like initial throws, he had expectorated all over the table bits of pork.
Oh, God.
Then a guy came over, like from the casino, came over, lifted up the kind of border of the table, brushed off with like a paper towel or something, brushed off all of the stuff. And I think one of us, maybe it was me or Kevin, we'd had our arms down on the thing on the table that the guy was trying to move. And we said, sorry. And as the guy's cleaning up someone else's borderline vomit, he says, it's Shoreline. You don't have to be sorry for anything.
I'm going to get a hat that says that.
One of the greatest lines I've ever heard in my life.
It's not even it's Goldie's. It's Shoreline. So where are his... You said that he pulled his chips off the table. Like, he pulled his chips, like, kind of out of the bedding areas.
Yes.
But are there still a bunch of chips kind of on the table?
Mountains of chips, you know, still in his area. Yeah. And then this is where – so he kind of comes back over.
This all has taken maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
Probably. We've all stopped. We're all a little shaken up. The bartender or the waitress has just run and grabbed bottles of water for everyone. Like, that was her answer to the problem was get everyone a bottle of water.
And tear some sheets.
And boil some water. Get me some newspapers. And Kevin said, I think you should give him the water. And she said, no, he's fine. She just brought us water. No, I mean, I guess she had also given him water. But it was funny. It was like she wanted everyone in the casino to have enough water in that moment.
Let's just take a big swig of water and just pretend this didn't happen.
I guess so. And so then the guy, he comes over and he's now fine. He doesn't say a word to anyone. He doesn't say like, hey, everyone, thanks for your concern or boy, that was a close call. He just comes back. This is why I think he really might have been on the spectrum or something.
Uh-huh.
He comes back and by the way, I don't use that glibly. I don't throw that around. I mean, I literally think he could have been because he was just, again, he was not getting a lot of social cues. He comes back. He sits back down at his spot at the table as if nothing happened, does not say a word to anyone and just keeps playing. And then he gets a, like two hands later, he gets like some huge straight again. He wins $450. And I looked at him and I said, God, life's weird. You almost died 3 minutes ago, and now you just got a big bonus hand. And then Kenny, the dealer, who you actually know.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Slow your roll, Luke.
he kind of put you on blast for...
Kenny and I have a good relationship. Yeah. Kenny's the guy who, for I was dodging for like a year because I thought he was trying to use like friendship in lieu of like the $200 he owed me.
Right.
When he really just wanted to give me the $200.
I remember he finally cornered you in a bathroom.
Yep,
like Goldie,
and gave
right?
me the money that he owed me. And I kept being like, he was like, I've been trying to give this to you for like 6 months.
Oh, man.
Anyway, it was an adventurous night for everybody, Andrew. And that was what happened at Goldie's. This is a great time for me to thank our Kenny Loggins playing with the boys level.
This is my favorite level.
Donors of the day. Whoa.
I didn't remember that.
I'm not playing this one off of YouTube today. I'm playing, this is the real.
Oh.
Trying to figure out what's going on with this part of the song.
Kenny Loggins has been on my mind a lot lately. Remember Music for Your Weekend a couple of weeks ago? Or maybe just last week was Kenny Loggins? He's got a good voice.
He does. I will say that there's a bit of the... like, this song sounds a little bit like the theme song to Caddyshack.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a huge range. I don't think anybody's arguing that, right?
Did he write the Even Though We Ain't Got Money, I'm So In Love With You, Honey, Danny song? Is that like Loggins and Messina?
Oh,
am I
God,
high?
Let me look.
Okay, and I'll thank the donors of the day. These are the people who donated during the most recent TV telethon, and they are the reason that we are doing this episode, which is also known as an extensive deconstruction of the branding of a local grocery store in Andrew's neighborhood.
It is Danny Song, Loggins and Messina, man. You are, you're on fire today.
Thank you. I want to thank Teresa Slusher of Tumwater, Washington. Sarah Montero Berea of Taylor's, South Carolina. You're going to dig this distribution today, Andrew. Okay, I'm going to tell you. Spoiler alert. Megan Stanbridge of Stony Plain, Alberta. And Aaron Mackey of Syracuse, New York.
Yeah, I do like that.
I tried to kind of go with the local. I tried to say Syracuse. Like, I think that's...
Instead of Syracuse?
Syracuse. I hear people say Syracuse. Another one that I always messed up in, kind of in that part of the world, is Albany. I think I would say Albany.
Oh, okay.
And it's Albany.
I've always heard Albany, yeah. I do think that I feel like Syracuse is more fun to say, so I probably lean towards that, but that's probably wrong, huh?
No, I think I don't know. I mean,
Syracuse.
It's as we've learned on this show, it's however they want to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe Aaron Mackey will weigh in on the protect?
Hold pronunciation.
On. I need more Diet Dr. Pepper to get my mind straight.
It's just what the doctor ordered.
Tastes more like regular Dr. Pepper. Wow, I almost turned into the guy from the casino.
Just about joking easy myself there. Up. Is it true that Diet Dr. Pepper tastes more like regular Mr. Pibb than any other diet soda?
Now I'm going to check out the Diet Dr. Pepper Yelp reviews. Yelp reviews. Let's see what people are saying about it. I can't seem to find it. There's a lot of...
Do they not do just
there's
like
a lot of reviews of diet doctors...
Do they? Maybe Yelp doesn't just let you do like store bought products like that.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Is that true? I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, Teresa Slusher, Sarah Montero Berea, Megan Stanbridge, and Aaron Mackey. Thank you so much. This episode 2307, would not have happened if not for your generosity during the TB Telethon. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Our top story, Andrew, kind of a late breaker here, but just in case you were considering taking a nude jog in the middle of the night.
Sounds like
On the Microsoft campus.
Sure.
I would advise against it because the police are not standing for it.
Really?
Yeah. This from the Seattle Times. Police stopped nude jogger on Microsoft campus after seeing, quote, illuminated buttocks. Microsoft's Redmond campus, by the way, Benjamin Woodard writing for the Seattle Times. Microsoft's Redmond campus got a late night visit from a nude jogger Friday. Officers on the south side of the tech giant's campus stopped the man about 3:30 a.m. after seeing, quote, nude buttocks illuminated by a streetlight, according to a city news release. The man was wearing nothing but black Skechers sneakers, police said. After being placed in the back of a patrol car, the man told police he was, quote, trying to build up his immune system to fight the cold weather.
Oh, man. This is one of those stories where if it's just a free spirit, fun, wacky person, it's great. If this person, which may be the case, right, is just actually like, is it a sad story about somebody suffering majorly from mental illness?
Well, I mean, there, interestingly enough, there is a little bit of logic to the exposing yourself to extreme colds and things like that. Like scientifically, like taking cold showers and things like that. In fact, Penn Jillette, when we had him on Livewire, writes in his book about this kind of NASA scientist that is his diet guru, who also is pushing the bounds of like, you know, longevity and weight loss and things like that. And is very interested in the idea of us being kind of uncomfortably cold a lot of the time. He thinks there's a lot of benefits. I think there, because it slows down some of your body's processes. And when they find animals that live the longest, like these, I forget which kind of shark it is. I think it's called a Greenland shark. They found
it's
one.
It's an Iceland shark.
They found one. It's Iceland shark's monster. they found, I think it's a Greenland shark that's like 250 years old, they think. And they what the one thing they've noticed is that the animals that live the absolute longest, most of them are in very cold weather because it does something to arrest the process. Point being, this guy could be onto something. He might be a wingnut. I do like the quote from the police department. They say they warn that jogging the nude could be considered indecent exposure, although the man was not charged with a crime. We do not have pictures to share of the incident, police said in the release. Quote, you are welcome.
Oh, a little cheeky there.
Yeah, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
There is, you know, like you can get into some real, if this is, you know, if this person is arrested and charged with some sort of a sex crime because of this, Veeves and I have a theory. I need to tread gently here and figure out the most public radio podcasty way to say this, but obviously the repercussions for being any kind of a sexual predator or something like that are severe, and that's just, you know, putting aside the actual jail time you might have to do or something, but like having to be on the sex offender list the rest of your life,
right?
You know, you're like, you know, you hear stories about some 17-year-old kid who streaks or something,
right?
Some age-old prank. Don't get me wrong, I'm not pro streaking. I think everybody should hide their bodies as much as possible, but you know, now next thing you know, for the rest of his life, this kid's gonna, you know, have to move around from town to town and tell his neighbors that he's a sex offender. Like, that's pretty severe. And so Veeves and I,
everyone knows the only thing we should be ashamed of is our bodies.
I know that we're not the only ones who feel this way, but there should be some sort of a middle ground for the more kind of jocular style.
Yes.
There was a guy, this is where I'm wondering if this is a story appropriate for this show, but you know how certain acts like this seem a little bit cuter because they have a cute name. For example, I'm running around naked. That's not so cute. You call it streaking. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, he was just a streaker. You know? Oh, he was just flashing or something. Mm-hmm. Not that, I mean, I know that this stuff isn't okay, but the fact that kind of cutesy names are assigned to it probably made him more socially acceptable throughout time in our culture. And we did not know this person, but a friend of a friend, apparently. We were in our very early 20s at this point. A friend was telling us a story about some acquaintance of his or hers was in a lot of trouble for the rest of his life because he was caught in a car by himself taking care of business.
Sure.
And
like reorganizing the maps in the glove compartment,
if that's what you call it. And so he was just reorganizing the maps. He got in a lot of trouble, and apparently he was in the zone. And there's no evidence that he was stimulated by anything outside the car.
Sure.
I don't know why you would go about doing this. I would not go about doing this.
Yeah.
But he was in an especially sensitive zone, I believe. There might have been a school block away or something like that. And Veeves and I, at the time, were thinking, like, maybe we should come up with a word for that. So that, you know, so that it's had, like, we were thinking honk in it. Like, you're, you know, he's a streaker. Yeah, he was honking it. Like, you know, it just doesn't sound as bad that way.
Honking it is sort of self-love, but in a way that is not utilizing anyone else, as in looking at someone else.
Because honking, that's where it comes
exactly
in. It's rearranging the maps. And from now on in the show, I think we know what we mean when we say someone was rearranging their maps.
I know a person who actually is a sometimes listener to this show, who shall remain nameless, but is a dear friend of mine, who I will try to be kind of circumspect here so I don't put anybody on blast, but they were in a dispute with a very mean person. I think it might have been like a landlord or something. Mm-hmm. And because they were just kind of being, this person is a female, and because she was just being kind of like, there had been, the person I believe had like come over to their property of her and her boyfriend and said a bunch of mean stuff and just been a real jerk. And this person is like a pacifist till the end. And so something overcame her, and she just decided to, as the person walked away, her way of resistance was to flash her boobs at the person.
Really?
Yeah. She says to this day, she doesn't know what came over her. She didn't know why that was, what, sort of like mooning.
Right.
Right. And again, I will give the same disclaimer you did. Some of these things are real things, and I don't want to discount anyone's experience with blah, 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 blah. Although saying blah, 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 blah is a really good way to discount somebody's experience.
That was a little dismissive. But no, I'm honestly, like, of course, some of this stuff is can be very, very hard.
But then there's also, you're right, there's this other kind of level of like stupid, like, oh yeah, they mooned the other football team.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
And
well, this
I can imagine being so, you know, we're talking about when that neighbor confronted me or whatever, you and I have talked about, like, you get, you're so angry, you just don't know what to, and kind of geared up, you don't know what to do to truly express just how angry you are.
Yes. And this person, it took the form of flashing.
Okay.
And it was reported to police, and this person had to, years of her life, had to go to, like, classes and all of this stuff because it would have been theoretically possible for, like, a child to have seen it. And, it just went into this whole other category, and it's really – it's sort of crazy. I don't have a cute nickname for that one.
Well, flashing,
high beams.
I guess,
just trying to keep with the automotive kind of motif.
I mean, not to go too far down this road, but that's especially interesting, though, because, I mean, there are – are they city ordinances? I know that, like, in New York City, like, they have an ordinance where women can walk around topless. Like, the idea of being a topless woman is not necessarily illegal in a lot of places. So.
Yeah, apparently this place did not have the same rules. And speaking of body parts, by the way
– yeah.
The scientists in China say that they have found a 540 million year old ancestor of human beings. These are described as insignificant creatures, no more than a millimeter in size. They wriggled around in the sediments of shallow seas. They gulped prey into their minuscule bag-like bodies, and they expelled the water through cone-shaped spouts around their mouths. Animals this small generally do not fossilize well, which is why this stage of the distant evolutionary past is there's little known about it. They found 45 of these little animals in Shaanxi province in central China, and they are considered to be the oldest known members of an ancient group called deuterostomes, which eventually grew to become humans. Now, what's interesting is that these deuterostomes, the name means mouth second in Greek, they're called that because they are being distinguished from something called protostomes or mouth firsters. The mouth firsters form the mouth first and then an anus second. The deuterostomes, which they just found, do it the other way around or not at all. I guess they said that the new deuterostome fossils seem to have no anus, presumably using the mouth for evacuation. I don't have a hot take on the story.
No.
Other than just, it blew my mind to look at a picture of this weird thing that doesn't have a butt that eventually grew to be human beings. I sort of couldn't wrap my mind around that yesterday when I was reading this article.
But if the Earth is only 6,000 years old, this doesn't, I don't understand this.
I know.
How did this get through?
How did these things ride dinosaurs without an anus?
Yabba dabba doo!
You know that, I'm sure I've mentioned this on the show before, but I was in my freshman year of college, and I thought the Earth was 6,000 years old. Like.
And you were at the University of Washington.
I was at the University of Washington. Yeah. Thankfully, it all fell apart pretty quick. Once I started, like, I didn't take any, initially anyway, I wasn't really taking science classes. The reason that I stopped personally thinking that the Earth was literally created in 6 days and was literally 6,000 years old was actually a documentary film class that I took where the professor was just talking about something about the sort of chain of custody of the Bible, like the text that became the Bible, and also just all the things that got into the Bible at the last minute and got knocked out, you know what I mean? Like things that made the cut and didn't make the cut. And I had grown up with this idea that the Bible, I was taught the Bible is the, I think it's the, you know, the breathed word of God. Anybody who adds to it or takes away from it will be punished.
It kind of came to us in its final form.
Yeah. But then once he wasn't there to try to bash Christianity. He was just talking in more factual terms about, you know, all the different things that have gone into the Bible and then been taken out of the Bible, depending on like who's in charge of the world, you know, the King James translation, you know, et cetera. And so as he started talking about it, I don't know what, the scales sort of fell from my eyes. But I remember getting to the University of Washington as a freshman and thinking, these guys better get ready because I'm about to drop some real science on them. And I think I've mentioned this before, but like our science teacher, Bill Baim at Jesus Creek, he had equipped us with a bunch of these factoids. I'm so glad I never got a chance to ask these questions in class, Andrew. One of them was, if the universe is really as old as you claim it is, based on the average amount of moon dust that settles on the moon, when the astronauts landed, they would have fallen through 15 miles of moon dust. That was one of the gotcha statements that I was planning on making if I ever had a science teacher try to tell me that the universe was older than 6,000 years.
This is interesting. It's also frustrating. I mean, again, I'm not going down this line, but I have to be honest with you and say, just having this conversation at this time,
I know,
when with the idea that all facts are opinions, right, is just, right, incredibly frustrating, and it's hard to talk about.
Sure.
But back to your personal story, when you were first telling this, I was under the impression that, you know, because of your upbringing, you thought the Earth was 6,000 years old or whatever. But then you're sitting in this class and suddenly you're putting it together. Like, oh, well, if this was happening then and then clearly it's older than that. But you were actually sitting in this class. You were educated in a way that not only did you believe the Earth was 6,000 years old, but that a bunch of people were going to challenge that. That you, when you, at some point you would be, yes, confronted with this. So you're not sitting there thinking like, oh, wait, suddenly I'm seeing this differently. You're like, you're all just like loaded for bear. You're like ready, yes, to blow.
Well, and yeah, I also don't want to take this to that place, but it's funny because I have sort of in a way blocked out my whole experience of being kind of in the early version of this kind of science denier. You can't believe what people say. We know the truth, even though everybody else doesn't necessarily agree with it, but we know what is real truth. Kind of this idea of, alternative facts. Mm-hmm. Like I was being taught a ton of alternative facts and was being sort of equipped to go out in the world and to really fight for those alternative facts. And I believed them. And I think that feels like very long ago in my life. And now when I see other people doing it, I'm sort of horrified.
Mm-hmm.
But I was totally one of those people. I mean, you know, I went, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so I mean, the interesting takeaway there, I think, in this day and age is to say, like, probably somebody coming along to you and being like, Burbank, you backwoods idiot. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I've just been wanting to say that to you for, yeah, a long time. So no, I just, fair, had to push. But, you know, somebody coming along and kicking you and making you feel stupid for your beliefs is probably not going to be the way that Luke Burbank of then turns into Luke Burbank of now. It was through actual just kind of education, probably.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to make an argument. Just, you know, the big conversation these days is how much do you give credence to the other side when,
right,
one side is so factually based and the other side just makes stuff up because that's where their guts are. And
right,
I know that, you know, talking to some people who were just like, I can't keep listening to the other side. Why are we always listening to the other side? Like, it's not working. But on the other hand, like, what? First of all, I love the fact, Luke, that you said the scales fell from your eyes because I believe that...
Is that what happened to Saul?
Oh, I thought it was an evolutionary. I always assumed that was some sort of an evolutionary, like, term.
Actually, you know what? That's very interesting.
Or is it a biblical thing?
Well, you know, I've used that term for years, and it actually is good. It's an interesting... let's see. Yeah. It's the book of Acts 9:18.
Okay.
Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciple in Damascus for some days, blah, blah, blah. Not to dismiss Saul's experience.
Okay, that's funny. That, like, I don't even know. That's so dumb of him because I don't know in particular what would make sense.
Like, but one of these little, like, no butt having
right,
Deuteronomes, like, great
mouth great, first, eyes third,
great glasses on, mouth up. One of these, like, you know, like a 2 million years later, whatever that thing grew into had scales over its eyes. And then those one day just kind of fell off. And it was like, you can see.
I guess I never really thought about it before. It's just like this idea in the back of my head.
But that's actually completely makes sense. Okay.
So when were you, but I want to just come back to your personal story as just briefly as possible. So you weren't sitting in this class and having this revelation that you'd been taught wrong. When did you start to realize, oh.
Well, what happened was thinking for the first time in my life, thinking about like the fact that, the Bible, again, is a, there are lots of really great things that didn't make it into the Bible, and some probably, in my opinion, not great things that made it in. And again, it had a lot to do with who was translating it and all that. Once that kind of made sense to me, just that, like, this is a book that you could use to kind of be a guide for your life. And I happen to think there are lots of great things in there. People could take the good parts and I think lead a great life. And many of our listeners do. Mm-hmm. I salute them. But as soon as I started to kind of consider that maybe the Bible was not exactly what I had been taught it was like I was pulling on a thread of like a loose thread on a sweater. And so then everything else was kind of up for debate in my mind. And then I started just kind of, you know, again, this is not really related to that, but it's just kind of funny that, you know, I'm one of seven kids and all of us went to college. My parents didn't go to college, but all of us went to college, and I'm quickly doing a mental inventory. None of us are practicing, religious people of the sort that my parents are. And I think it's because we all went to college and we all went to, like, you know, public institutions. Most of us went to the UW. And I think we all had that moment at some point where we just sort of, you know, heard reasonable science mentioned, and it kind of, you know, it got through to us, mm-hmm. I guess. But it's interesting that you would point out that it wasn't because this professor was like, lock the doors, I'm going to disabuse all of you of whatever hillbilly notions you have about the right. Earth's age. He's talking – this is a guy who directed a documentary. His claim to fame was he made a documentary called Chinese Cafes in Rural Saskatchewan.
Really?
He made a movie about Chinese restaurants in rural Saskatchewan, Canada. And then he was teaching the documentary film class. He's a very interesting dude. And he was like literally in passing saying something about the Bible. So he wasn't kind of like hitting me over the head with it. Mm-hmm. He was just talking about something.
Right.
So what you and I need to do is go out on the streets and just start talking about reasonable gun control. See if that
we went different places with that.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man, it's not from a female.
All right, we will do the Super Bowl story and the Super Bowl shuffle.
Yes.
Andrew, I didn't come to cause no trouble.
Do you want to go out with that song today?
We could. I was thinking we could go out with, when you were talking about streakers, I was thinking, for some reason, that the song by The Who was called The Streaker. It's not just called The Seeker.
Oh, right. We could just, like, leave our microphones open and just, like,
they call me The Streaker. I've been streaking low and high. We will talk about the Super Bowl ads because it is, first of all, an interesting topic. And second of all, you're kind of a resident expert, my friend, on commercials as the co-host of the wonderful After These Messages podcast, which people can get in iTunes, that you and Genevieve host.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. After the show today, Vives and I are supposed to – Genevieve is going to come home at lunchtime, and we're going to sit in the studio, and we're going to hook up with KCRW, my old show at KCRW. They're going to record a segment with us about Super Bowl commercials. Number one, I've never felt like such a big phony in my life. You know that.
Don't lead with that. I'm going to pep talk you. I'm going to coach you
up,
okay?
No, I won't do that. Pretend. I'm a little nervous.
Pretend. Don't say anything about how you don't know about football or commercials.
I won't.
For all they know, you're friggin' Bob Garfield. Okay?
Wait, what position did he play?
Split end.
No, absolutely. But so that's supposed to air Friday. Of course, cool. I've used to produce that show, so I know that sometimes the lighter fare can sometimes get cut if there's something more pressing that happens on Friday. But if all goes well and according to current plan, yeah, Vives and I are going to be on our old on the old show I used
that's
to produce.
Awesome,
I know.
Man.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Just hope we go to war on Saturday right. for the breaking news coverage. Anyway, so you are now becoming – you're rapidly becoming one of my very best friends. You're rapidly becoming an expert on commercials. I do want to talk about them with you.
Sure.
Even though it's sort of a perennial topic, I find Super Bowl ads to be endlessly fascinating as a topic. So we will talk about that. I do have some updates, though, from Cyber. One, this just in, one Christopher Hayes of the All In with Chris Hayes television program just 8 minutes ago posted on Twitter – just followed at RandBallStu entirely because he explained the quote large adult sons meme to Luke Burbank and Andrew Walsh.
Fantastic.
So there you go. Dreams come true. Enjoy your retirement, Stu, with the gold watch that is a Chris Hayes follow. And then the other thing I wanted to just mention here was that an email just came in through my inbox from listener Steve who said, Luke, have you paid Andrew the $75 you borrowed
yes.
from him for the passport debacle? I haven't heard you mention it on the show, just curious. And then he says, signed, Andy Welsh.
No relation.
No, but that's not even his name. He just signed well, Andy
like
Welsh, but it must
like
be...
you were welching? Is that a term?
Oh no, interesting.
Is that a...
I feel like that's a reference to some joke we made a long time ago, maybe
know.
About Andy Welsh.
I don't know.
A version of your name. Anyway, I actually did pay you back.
Yes.
But I only remembered to because you very courteously mentioned kind of casually, oh, hey, do you want to settle that up? Now, I felt extremely...
And you said, wait. I have a system. Yes. I can double your money.
Hold on. I've got to get to the straight edge tables. Stat. Wait. Clean the pork off the straight edge tables.
Why is this money covered in pork bits?
What I failed to tell you in that story is as the guy went down to the ground to try to clear his airway, I was able to take some of his chips.
Why did you pay me in chips?
No, actually, I don't want to get too bogged down with this, but I did actually kind of want to talk about it because I felt this was yesterday, and oddly, I happened to have $70 on me in cash, so it was perfect because you mentioned it. I had the money; I gave it to you. We're I guess square now. Although they're saying I owe you $75.
Oh, I think as we joked about it, it
are you
went
sure?
More and more. Yeah.
Because I honestly, a Burbankster sometimes pays their debts, and so I want to. If it's 75, it's 75. I mean, it should really. You know what, Andrew? Dang it! If I was a better friend, I'd just give you a hundo for your time.
No, Luke, dude, it's no big deal.
No, but you.
I didn't even want to ask for the 70.
No, okay, but I did feel like. Incredibly embarrassed that I kept forgetting
no
to the
deal.
Point where you had to ask because that's not a position you should ever be in.
It honestly was no big deal. And I also did not feel uncomfortable asking you.
Really?
For whatever
okay.
that's worth.
And then I said this thing, which sounded like I was trying to kind of tap dance out of it, but it was really true. I kept thinking over the last month or so, I got to pay Andrew that money. And then I kept thinking, can I like PayPal it to him? Can I Venmo?
Oh, right.
Because
yeah.
we're not,
you kind of mentioned that
we're
yesterday.
Not usually
yeah.
in the same city.
Right.
I could have also just written a check and mailed it. I could have just put the money in the mail. But it made me wonder, should we get on one of those things? Like, should you and I
I'm
have
on
some...
PayPal. Don't you have a PayPal thing?
Yeah, but
you
isn't,
must.
But is it... I do, but doesn't... Isn't there some funkiness where PayPal, like, keeps some of the money or something?
I
some
don't
percentage?
Know. Is that true?
I've paid people with PayPal before, and then I've had them... I feel like it was a bad deal for them, because sometimes
right,
they have to pay a little percentage... Like, they're not getting all the... I don't know.
That's right, because you used to pay me via PayPal when I worked for you instead of APM.
Really?
Didn't we do that for a little bit,
yeah.
but then you were concerned about that? Yeah, I think
yeah,
that,
I think it was
think
taking
I'm
a service
one.
Charge
yeah.
on you, and you were
Maybe.
Being cool about it. I owe you so much more than $75. I owe you
no.
probably... Because whatever you were getting paid, I think it was dinging it by, like, $10, and you were like, yeah, whatever.
Maybe we should get on one of those services. I don't know. Like... It's so weird. Like, the older I get, maybe it's not weird. Like, all these services come around, and I'm going more and more to cash. Like I told you, I shouldn't announce this, because next time a 10 sees me,
well,
they're going to mug
me. Now that you've put your address out,
right? Exactly.
This working backwards from the grocery store, where's Walsh's place?
Where's this pot of gold that Walsh has dug in the backyard? I don't know why, but I used to, you know, as much as possible, I used to just have maybe $2 in my wallet at any given moment, if that, and everything was
I do want that
$2. But now I like to pay with cash as much as possible. I'm always carrying around some cash these days, and it's weird because you would say it's an age thing, but that seems more like a generational thing. You know what I mean? I'm not like getting older and suddenly turning into the greatest generation. You know what I mean? I still grew up and I still kind of came of age with money in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. So like, why would I suddenly be shifting more towards the cash? I have no idea.
Well,
why
I'll tell you what, there is, for all of the conversations around the fact that, you know, paper money will soon be gone and, you know, kind of coins and stuff make no sense anymore. And it's probably true. With this whole weekend, I didn't have any cash on me this weekend. We're staying at the hotel in Florida and, you know, we had a card down for the room. So you're just doing incidentals. You go get a drink and you just like put it on the room. So you don't really need cash, but then there's the housekeeping tips. There's the, you know, we had the bellman watch our bags when we checked them when we were at, you know, checked out of the hotel on Monday, but still hadn't left. And it was like, I realized, you know, I still need cash because here's who gets burned when I don't have cash. All the people I should be tipping in cash.
Right.
Like that's who gets hurt. Yeah. So until we have some way to just like, you know,
tap iPhones.
I mean, really like look at the guy who put your, you know, luggage in the car, look at him and then just like tap your glasses and then his glasses get a $5.
Right.
Which would be great. I would totally vote for that. I would get a chip implanted if I could.
And literally now we have people wearing glasses with dollar signs over their eyes, which I love. I'm 100%. That's very Looney Tunes-y.
That's not to be confused with the guy who used to wear a suit covered in question marks.
Oh, is that
talking about government programs?
Oh, right. For a second, I thought you were talking about the crazy old, remember the H&R Block guy who drove the hoopty and he had the green suit? This was like H&R Block this year. Now I'm getting into commercial talk. H&R Block this year, they have this new John Hamm campaign, which I think is very misguided. But I think it was last year and the year before. Remember, H&R Block had like that crazy old man who would be in your face and he was like, "Get your millions back, America."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Saw his hoopty one time in L.A. He was just parked outside of an H&R Block.
But I guess I didn't know that his car was a hoopty. I didn't pick that part of it up. But wasn't he? Here's a little Matthew Lesko for you.
And even H. Ross Perot have used government money programs to help make their millions, and you can too. I'm Matthew Lesko, and you probably see me on Oprah, Larry King, or Letterman talking about government money programs. Well, my new book shows you 15,000 programs you could use to change your life.
Did I tell you that when I went to Carl Castle's farewell show in D.C., we were eating in a restaurant, and this dude, Matthew Lesko, was in the restaurant, and he had on a question mark suit.
He just wears it out?
He has like a bunch of them, and he was legit wearing it in a restaurant. That is not a joke.
I can't find any images of the hoopty. Maybe I just happened to see one. I did see one. It was all like kind of decked out in green with, I think, bucks all over it. And it was parked outside of an L.A. H&R Block, by the way. Anyway,
when you click on Matthew Lesko, you get kicked over to one of the great...
This is one of the most incredible things that I have seen.
The second way to make money that I stumbled onto was placing tiny classified ads in the newspaper. If you create and test one tiny classified ad in the newspaper that makes just $30 to $40 profit in a week, it could make you a fortune.
That's going out to Camaro Kev. Yeah. We used to just always do that line to each other.
He's now a financial journalist himself of a sort.
Camaro Kev?
Sure, yeah. Doesn't he produce some financial shows? Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I know he produces a show about alcohol on the weekends on his radio station.
Does he?
He really does. And this way he always has these like kind of experimental out there, like different kinds of booze juice at their house because he often gets them. Like the guy who does the show will bring in stuff like, we're trying this, you know, I don't know what, apple brandy, and then he'll give it to Camaro Kev, and then it will make its way over to Chateau Thunder.
I remember he told us a story about some folks who came around and tried to give him some free samples that he wasn't too interested in, but I didn't realize that was for a specific show. I wonder how he feels. We just have him on the show again soon, but I wonder how he feels about powder alcohol. Remember you and I talked about that like 3 years ago? It was like right around the corner, powdered alcohol, and you were pro, I was con. and it has not come to fruition yet.
I can't wait to get some of my powdered alcohol and get in my self-driving car and drive it off a laser cliff. And on that note, we should probably wrap it up. What are we going to call this show? You know what? Dang it. I had like two. We could call it Dern Good Podcast.
We could do that.
I had some good ideas in my head, and I made a note to myself to not forget them, and then I totally forgot.
But it was a mental note. The only one I wrote, a Burbankster sometimes pays his debts. I think that's kind of funny.
Okay.
Or Dern Good Podcast.
Your call. What do you think?
Make America Dern Great Again. Dern Good Again. No, that's too. Let's not do that. Let's go with the pays his debts thing.
Okay, great. Are you okay with going out with the Hoot the Seeker?
Yeah, we have plenty of a lot of time to play the Super Bowl Shuffle should we want to.
And I'm going to be in Chicago tomorrow. Think about that.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's a good thing. You've only got two more days with me before I hit the high seas. Not really, but before I leave the country.
I hope you don't, because that means something's gone very wrong with the flight.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, but I'll be on vacation for all of next week.
I know,
so
I'm going to miss you, bud.
We've
got to
pack a lot into the next two shows.
Absolutely, and we will. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We will be back here tomorrow with more imaginary radio for you. I'll go find William the Refrigerator Perry and see if I can get him to sit in my hotel room with me in Chicago. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you at the Dern Good Grocery. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
Good luck to all. To get what I'm after till the day I die. People tend to hate me 'cause I never smile. As I ransack their homes, they wanna shake my hand. Focusing on nowhere, investigating miles. I'm a seeker, I'm a really desperate man. Power out.